Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast. Here on Act 1 of today's program, Part 1 of Episode 5. Originally, this was supposed to be a Raspberry Pi show where we would talk about some 3D printing things, and we'd also talk about Raspberry Pi and basically the beginnings of MakerBot ethos and the seeds, really, of the Internet of Things that are becoming such a big buzzword right now. And this episode wound up being strictly a 3D printing episode. So if you came here looking for Raspberry Pi, we do talk about it. We don't go as in-depth as I'd hoped, but we do talk in-depth about 3D printing, what it takes to get started, and how it works. And so, we're going to begin the show that way. And there'll be an there'll be a part 2 of episode 5 where we really dig into Raspberry Pi and create it and make it, and it's going to be awesome. My special guest on today's show is Phil Berta, who was one of the early adopters of 3D printing and one of the first people I knew that actually had a 3D printer. And you may notice a couple things. My co-host Chuck Brink is not on today's episode. He was not available at the time we had scheduled our guest. And also, you may notice a noise. If you jack up your volume, you may hear it. I was able to edit out the beast for the most part, but you may hear it. So if you're listening enjoyment, here is part 1 of episode 5. Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast with your hosts Roy Richardson and Chuck Brink. Each episode brings discussions about technology topics in the news and how they affect you. If you're curious and want to know more, sit back, listen, and enjoy the show. Here it is, Phil Berta.
Thank you for having me. Doing great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being on the show. We're averaging about... Well, I don't even talk about Mila, but it's actually, we're getting a lot of listeners, so I'm kind of shocked. So anyway, hopefully episode 5 will be so amazing, even more people will listen to us.
Excellent.
I know, weirder things have happened. So, now the interesting thing to me about this age of computing where people build their own computers and, well, and I'll take that back because I remember the days back in the ham radio days and that type of thing where everybody bought components and built their own computers. And gamers still build their own computers these days because how else are you going to get the best of everything? You know, the best motherboard and the best video card and, you know, the right amount of memory. And, oh, well, I got to have a solid state drive, of course. And, I'm going to do a fast data drive so that my games load fast. The OS isn't slowing me down. And so I was thinking about how Raspberry Pi, for some reason or other, kind of makes me think of the Homebrew Computer Club, which is where, you know, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak met up, and Steve Wozniak built the computers, like the original Apple computers, and Steve Jobs figured out a way to market them. And then even before that, in the days when, you know, you had the guys that wrote like CPM and other operating systems. CPM was before DOS, which was before IBM's Warp, and then there was Windows 95 and Windows NT.
Whoa! Don't date yourself there.
Oh, I know. And then XP, and we'll talk about Vista and me and all those crazy ones in between there. But anyway, Windows 7 and now Windows 10. But anyway, so, you know, the other thing that's been amazing that's going on is that we have people that are using 3D printing to make stuff, from scratch. They come up with an idea, and they 3D print it. And, you know, to me, the most interesting story definitely is the little boy that Robert Downey Jr. presented the prosthetic arm for that had some cool features to it, and the whole thing was 3D printed. Phil does some 3D printing. He's one of the first people I knew that owned a 3D printer. So tell us about that process. What put you out to where you say, you know what, I want to buy a 3D printer, and what were some of the first things you printed, and then help everybody understand what exactly is the material that 3D printers use in order to print things.
Sure. So the main reason why I got into 3D printing I've worked for various manufacturing companies over the years, and I found it fascinating some of the design work that they did, and some of the things that they would produce by carving big blocks of metal or something like that, and then carving out pieces to get what they wanted as an end project. When I saw the 3D printer, and this was, of course, in the local computer store, and they had it all set up, and they were running various programs on it, but I sat there and watched it, I would have to say, for at least 30 minutes. And, you know, of course, other people were watching it too, but they would glance, and I watched it for 30 minutes, and I just thought it was amazing how instead of taking a big block of something and carving it out, instead just take little bits and pieces and kind of put them together. And so that's what absolutely fascinated me with that process. Now, I started contemplating and thinking about and researching why to get a 3D printer. And I would say my biggest reason for getting one is because it took some of my hobbies, computer, gaming, and brought them together so that I could actually do my physical gaming, but yet have a computer help me build pieces or items or anything that I could come up with, to help me with that. And so that just opened up a huge world, and my ideas, the thoughts started coming in, and, oh, well, I could, you know, I can make this device here so I could, open up a card pack for me or something, or, instead of going out and buying all my little plastic pieces and then painting them, I could just 3D print them and then just, I wouldn't have to go out and buy those anymore. Yeah, right. Well, that didn't work out as much as I hoped for, but I do love the 3D printing. I was very fascinated, and I still play with it to this day. So I truly enjoy it, and what really kind of tipped the scale for me is I went to kind of a maker's fair. And in this maker's fair, it's various people doing their hobbies, and I saw a few of the people there with their 3D printers, and these were homemade 3D printers. And they had a place where they all kind of gathered together, and they were making 3D printers, and everybody would get together and make their own 3D printers. So I went there, and I don't have that kind of experience or expertise on electronics and programming to actually build my own. And talking to those people, you really kind of had to know some of the intricacies of programming in order to put one of these together. So after looking around, I kind of looked at the people who made the 3D printers. I looked at MakerBot, and I looked at some of the other ones out there, and I actually found one at a computer store called Micro Center, and they kind of had their own version, a very clone-esque, if you will, of the MakerBot sort of 3D printer. So I purchased that. It actually wasn't that expensive. It was about the same price of a decent desktop computer at the time, and this was probably about 3-4 years ago. And then I took it home, I unboxed it, I set it up, I got my various plastics for it.
So we should say right here, so that right. The you know, as opposed to an inkjet printer where you got these ink cartridges, for a 3D printer, it uses plastic filaments or plastic beads, or how does that work exactly?
It actually is a big, plastic wire, if you will.
So it kind of resembles fishing line, like a really thick fishing line?
It does. I would think even closer would be kind of the plastic that you use in a weed whacker.
Okay, yeah. So like a weed trimmer. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, so And if I know correctly, you get the colors that you want the thing you're going to print to be made out of. So red filament, for example, or blue filament is going to, the blue filament will print something blue and red filament prints something red. What do you do if you want something that's got more than one color? You just kind of have to break it into pieces and kind of print each part?
That is correct. You do have to do that. Or the one that I bought actually had two heads. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so I can actually put two filaments in, and then if there's a break in the color or if I want to switch colors out at that point, I switch over to the other head. Or, like you said, you can kind of stop or put the device on pause and then take out the filament and then put in a new color filament.
Now, what kind of software do you interface this with?
If you're talking about the software that you use to take the applications to the printer,
mm-hmm.
It would be like a normal 3D type of document, if you will. I put them on SD cards, and okay. I have a little SD port there. Now, you can also do it straight direct with like a USB cable.
Okay.
The problem with a USB cable, though, is that it's not fast enough for the program, so sometimes you might have some jitter. Or,
okay.
You know, where you actually see where the 3D printer is trying to process and it's just not getting the information fast enough from the computer.
Now, do you think maybe with USB 3 that might be fixed? Now, I guess your printer is USB 2 standard, so having USB 3 ports probably doesn't make any difference in that case.
Not from because the 3D printer doesn't have that.
And so you said your 3D printer has an SD card slot to put in, and then you go through some interface menu on the front and pick the image?
That is correct, yeah. Through all the save files, and then I'll go through and pick the image to print.
Now, what format are the images in normally?
Really, it's different from whatever program that you're using them. Because different programs will have different 3D applications output programs. So
what 3D programs have you used, or what's just one example? I don't have to go out and buy AutoCAD, do I?
You don't. No, actually, and the beauty
of SolidWorks.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to. Now, if you have those things and you know how to use them, you're ahead of the curve, and you should go out and get your 3D printer right now. but you can, what was really nice with what I purchased, it came with the software for free.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, it was kind of bundled. It wasn't for free, I would say.
Sure.
It was put together. It all came together. Plus, the other beauty of it is that there's plenty of sites out there, that you can just download the software from. Like, you can go to the MakerBot site, which is MakerBot.com, and you can go out and just download the applications. The MakerBot desktop. So, which is really nice. You can kind of get those type of applications going, and you can start kind of hopefully working on your modeling for free, basically.
Yeah.
Now I didn't realize the amount of programming I would have to do my own thing. So, of course, brand new item, I want to see it print. So after unboxing it and setting it up and getting my filament in, getting all my software set up, it's like, okay, I'm ready to print. Well, I don't have anything to print. And that is where a website called Thingiverse comes into play. Now, Thingiverse is basically a dump of all sorts of things that people have already programmed. And it's very searchable. And you can just go out there and just peruse the various things that they've already programmed. And it comes from, and right now people seem to be on a big kick for putting things on their skateboards or they, you know, somebody here has created a hook to go on the car, on your headrest of the car, so you can hang things off of there. So, and then some people just create things like a boat or, you know, just other devices like that. Maybe you want a Raspberry Pi case. And you just download the Raspberry Pi case and print it off in whatever color that you want. So,
well, that's cool. Now, and I'm gonna put all these links on the programming notes for this episode. So the episode notes will have these links that Phil's talked about. So don't go. Well, you can Google them if you want, but I'll also put the links so that you know you're going to the official sites. And I noticed that MakerBot, the software studio, is available for Mac and Windows and for Ubuntu. So whatever flavor of operating system you're running, you can go download it from MakerBot.com. So that's pretty cool.
It is. It is. Now, something too, there are different filaments that you can use for the printers. I believe they are PLA and ABS.
Okay. And now, that's different types of plastic.
It is. It is different types of plastic. Now, let's see here. So, in basically, you are going to be heating up those filaments at different temperatures.
Okay.
The nice thing about the one that I bought again was that because I can adjust the temperature on the extruder, I can actually use both different. I can use the PLA and the ABS with this 3D printer.
Interesting. I like that.
It is. Another reason why I bought this more generic one, I believe when you buy the MakerBot or the other specific type of 3D printers, you are kind of stuck with their brands, if you will. Unless you want to break into the device and you know, kind of rootkit the device, if you will, and go in and want to reprogram it and adjust it, I didn't want that. So that's why again, I went with this more generic version so I could manipulate it as I wanted it to be.
Okay. That's interesting. Now, I'm looking online to kind of get a price on what your average 3D printer is these days. I see if you want to spend it, you can spend it. It's out there. So, like for example, one of the smaller MakerBot replicators, 3D printers, it's about $1,400. But you can spend $3,000, $4,000, $7,000, $8,000 for a 3D printer. You know, maybe you're doing something industrial. That's really interesting. So you say you got into yours for, $1,200. Is that the price you would say for a standard PC, or is that more than you pay?
Well, I actually paid $500.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So the high-end computer at Walmart, for the price of a high-end computer at Walmart, you can get the printer you had, assuming they still have that model. You know, but you said it's been 3 or 4 years. What's the coolest thing you've printed with your 3D printer?
Well, like I said, I'm a gamer. And so I very much like the physical games. I love Magic the Gathering, and I love some of the board games like Descent. Descent is very complicated with all the pieces parts, and it has decks for every character that plays. Well, the cool thing was is that I was able to, and every character has its own color, so I was able to make little deck card packs that allowed all of the card packs to be separated and per color per the player. Of course, I bought all the colors. And so I have those with like a nice plastic box for all of the cards to sit in. And then also I think another cool thing was kind of a Magic the Gathering, you know, the collectible card game. I made my own deck box out of that as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it kind of does this little thing. You open up one side and it opens up all the different compartments, and very, very cool. I thought it was very cool.
Oh, that is very cool. Yeah. What color filament did you use for that?
For that one, since it was a green deck, I used green filament.
Wow. That's really cool. You know, Phil, if you got some pictures, you could send me. I would upload those to the website if you're okay with that.
I'll definitely get out the Descent stuff.
Yeah, like I said, you know, show people a couple examples of things that they can 3D print. And, you know, so that makes 3D printing pretty exciting to me, because I'm thinking about, like you mentioned about the Raspberry Pi case. By the way, you can download a template that will give you the what you need in order to print a 3D print a Raspberry Pi case. So if you're into Raspberry Pis, Arduinos as well, and Beagle and others, you can 3D print your own case for those, and that's pretty cool. It'll have the holes right where it is. Now, do you have to, after you do the printing, do you have to take like an X-Acto knife or anything and do any kind of, you know, trimming to kind of sharpen it up, or does it come out a finished product?
Well, it does come out a finished product. The one thing that really kind of, it's not going to be a smooth product. Every layer kind of creates an extruded line, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So some people will actually sit there with X-Acto knives and carve it up. Now, I was reading earlier today about a person using acetone and smoothing it out, but they weren't using a straight on acetone.
Right.
I believe they were doing like an acetone mist, and they had an acetone mist container, which really kind of smoothed out the rough edges, if you will. So
yeah,
I found that interesting.
That is interesting. I was going to say, before you run off people and use acetone, please look at the safety warnings labels on the acetone bottle and make sure you follow safety. You know, whether it be goggles or breathing mask or whatever it is for particular acetone you're using, please be careful out there.
Yes, be careful with acetone. Yes.
I don't want to recommend anything. Now, and then I suppose the 3D printer, because you're heating elements, heating the filaments probably gets pretty hot too. So, is there any cautionary tales we have when using the 3D printer?
There is. You are definitely, because you're using it at higher temperatures and you are technically burning plastic, you do want to do this in an open area. I was doing it in a very big basement that was very open. You don't want to be doing this in a closed area. But I had windows open in the basement, and I had a few fans blowing just to make sure that I wasn't inhaling any of those toxic plastic airborne sort of vapors.
Yeah. So, and if you know what the smell of melted plastic's like, that's probably what it smells like.
Yeah.
So, when you threw your child's favorite toy into the fireplace by accident, that's what it smells like.
That's evil.
Don't do that!
Don't do that.
It's not nice. Don't throw toys in the fire. It's not cool to throw your child's favorite toy in the fireplace. It's probably not cool to throw toys in the fireplace.
No.
Yeah, so, well, that's pretty cool, Phil. That's pretty cool.
Now, and as you mentioned, the Raspberry Pi, and then you can build your own cases. And I'm just looking here on Thingiverse. People have come up with some very awesome designs for Raspberry Pi cases here on Thingiverse. So peruse them at your leisure. But I'm telling you, there are some very creative people out there.
Oh yeah, and you're one of them, right, Phil?
You don't think so? I definitely did not realize the extent of programming that I would need in order to program. I thought that because I had enough with 3D modeling in computer games, you know, doing the old Quake 3 maps, those type of things, that I could very easily pick this up. It is definitely something that you need to realize that if you want to program and design your own things, you have to be willing to sit there for a long time. And I'm talking for even a basic, say like a die, a six-sided die. My first six-sided die, it took me, I would say, 6 hours to do the first one. I could probably go back and redesign it again from scratch in about an hour and a half, just, you know, depending on sizes and and those sort of things. And then you also have to place it on the center of your pad when you're designing. You have to make sure that you have the right spin on it, and you also have to lay down a mat. So that there's a lot more than just, hey, I'm just going to put six sides and then fill it in. So, yeah.
Now, so you mentioned programming. Are you like an actual programming language, or are you just saying there's a lot of configuration involved?
Not a programming language. No, absolutely not. 3D modeling, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, yeah, I just want to make sure. If I need to go suddenly, learn Python so I can do 3D printing, then I wanted to warn people. So, well, that's cool. But so the software has a learning curve to it. You would, if on a user friendliness scale from 1 to 10, what would you say is the user friendliness of the software when you first get into it?
If 1 was easy and 10 was hard, I would definitely say it would be about an 8.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty difficult. Now, fortunately for me, I had worked with enough 3D modeling support for engineers in a couple of my jobs, and then I also did 3D modeling with the games. I would say for me, with that experience, it was more like a 5.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that's good to know. That's... So I don't need to, maybe I do need to run out tomorrow and buy the 3D printer, but maybe I need to play with the modeling software for a while before I even thinking about doing my first 3D printing.
Yeah.
So.
I would agree with that.
That's really interesting. That is a trip, because I'm like thinking of things I'd like to print, hey, I need trophies for kids' soccer teams.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I'll do like a little 6-inch tall. Is that too big for, most 3D printers are kind of small. What's like the tallest thing you can print in your 3D printer, size-wise?
Right. Now, on mine, I would say that one of the cases that I did was about 5 inches tall, and that was, fortunately enough, I just made it.
Okay.
So yeah. Now, there are some very big printers out there. One of the custom printers that I've seen, instead of using a case, they left it all out in the open, and they just had pillars that the X and Y heads would move along, and they were actually printing incredible. I don't know. I would have they did a full replica of a baseball bat.
Wow!
From end to end. Oh yeah. So.
Wow.
Very nice, but then again, they weren't constrained by it being all in a case.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I was going to say, I'm slightly familiar with, industrial applications for 3D printing. For example, printer 3D printing using metal, different types of metals to make things, that is just amazing. So, example, let's say I need a gear for a piece of equipment. If I can get the dimensions for that gear... I can print it out of, some type of aluminum. But you got to imagine that the temperatures on that are just, wow. I mean, through the roof in order to be able to melt aluminum. And you probably don't go down to the recycling center and grab a bunch of aluminum cans and look, it's a Coke can. I could tell that sprocket was made from a Coke can. That's probably maybe not the right aluminum for that. I was talking to someone and they had a 3D print head that a company makes a 3D print head that actually can print ceramic tile patterns. And I'm like so amazed by that. So they use a ceramic slurry as the medium that the print head puts out, and it actually prints the pattern on ceramic tiles. And I thought, wow, that is just so amazing. It's just so interesting the things that you can do with 3D printing these days. And I talked about at the beginning of the show about, how Robert Downey Jr. presented the, that little boy. If you go Google that, by the way, basically Google Iron Man and, 3D printing, and you'll hear a story about a 7-year-old fan, that was born with a partially developed right arm. And so they basically 3D printed a bionic Iron Man arm for him. So he's got a red arm. It's really cool. And there's a cool YouTube video that I highly recommend watching. And that was, that was from last year. And then, recently I was, I referenced an article on my Twitter channel that basically this guy had 3D printed a replacement part for his refrigerator so he could put his refrigerator back together. And I was like, oh man, that is just a trip. And so, you know, to be able to say, you know what, I want something, I want to will something into creation that doesn't exist, and I'm going to use 3D printing as a way to create that. I think that's just such an amazing thing. And so, Phil, you've done a lot of figurines. Now, after the figurines are finished that you've done printing, I know you've done some figurines, right?
Yeah.
And do you, like, paint them afterwards, or do you just kind of say, that's it, that's the cool, complete creation?
I did try to paint one once, and it just didn't look very good to me because of the edges still.
Right.
So I do just leave them with that. Now, not to say that if I didn't really want to work and try to smooth it all out, you know, actually get out a sander and try to do that, that I couldn't do it. But for now, I am just going to print them out and just do it that way.
Okay. So
now some of the cool things that you've seen, now some of the cool things I've seen with in things in the news about 3D printing, there's Bagpipes the Penguin. They actually fitted him with an actual, I believe it's a prosthetic foot.
Wow.
That they did with the 3D printer.
Yeah.
And then another thing was where they are doing the prosthetic hands for the paraplegic kids, and that's going to be the handchallenge.com site. Just very cool stuff there.
That is very cool. And challenge.com. So I'm going to make sure I list that one out as well.
And basically people are printing out the parts, then they'll assemble the hand, and then they'll ship them off.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing as well. So that's really cool. So if you got a 3D printer and you want to help out, that's a charitable cause that you can help out kids with by 3D printing parts for prosthetic hands for them. And that's, you know, that's amazing. You know, that's just technology being used for a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
So that is really cool. I think that anything else you want to tell us about 3D printing, I think we about covered it.
Yeah, it is. I really enjoy it. I wish I had time to do more of it, but it really is. 3D printing is, I think, it's just going to be more and more prevalent in the industrial manufacturing processes that we see now. It's just going to keep growing.
Yep, I agree with that. So now we're gonna switch gears just a hair, and let's talk about the new age of computing where people are using miniature computers and miniature motherboards in order to create computers and to do programming. Not too long ago, Raspberry Pi came out with kind of a stamp computer that they actually shipped out with the magazine that they have. There's a Raspberry Pi magazine they shipped out, and the stamp computer was $5. Of course, as soon as people got a hold to it, they went on eBay and racked up the price to like $500. So just craziness. But recently, Raspberry Pi came out with a Raspberry Pi 3, which has a lot more memory. As always, the Raspberry Pi has been HDMI compatible. They come with HDMI ports. Of course, now you have to do the mini HDMI port in order to use the Raspberry Pi to be able to connect up. But, you know, for that same, you know, $35-$40, for about $40 now, you can get a, you know, Raspberry Pi version 3, and people are even running Windows 10 on it. Now I'm like kind of tripped out, because why would you want to run Windows 10 on it? But you've always been able to run various versions of Linux. There was one specific, a version of Debian distribution of Linux that's made specific for Raspberry Pi called Raspbian. And then there's also the Xbox Media Emulator that you can run as well. And so a lot of people use that for media streaming and for basically hosting their music library. A friend of mine uses his Raspberry Pi as a print server and as a file server, so everybody in the house can connect up to it and drop all their files off as a way to back up their computer. So there's so many amazing things you can do with a Raspberry Pi. And there you basically download the Noobs distribution, which is a, you know, has several flavors of Linux on it, and you pick which one. And Raspberry Pi 3 uses a micro SD. The previous versions ran with an SD card, and so you would load, make your operating system bootable onto the SD card, and boot up, and you could do programming. A lot of people do Python. There is a graphical programming language called Scratch that's kind of neat to make animations with. And so I've talked to people who are using Raspberry Pis as Minecraft servers. Granted, you probably want to have at least a gig of memory, so you probably want to do a Raspberry Pi 3 for a good Minecraft server, depending on how many people you're going to have connecting up to it. And kind of what started this before Raspberry Pi came out was Arduino. Arduino was kind of the first kind of circuit board with a processor, and you would buy it and buy different modules and breadboards so that you could hook up wiring, connect up lights, LEDs, and all these different things. And so there's been some very amazing things. One of the neatest things was a Raspberry Pi cluster that was built using about 25 different Raspberry Pis, and they took Lego blocks and actually built the structure to hold all these Raspberry Pis together in the structure, and they had them all wired together so they basically could do computing. And so the Raspberry Pis is just a very interesting project, and it started first in the UK, and Google has made a large investment in Raspberry Pi, and now Microsoft is also making a large investment in Raspberry Pi. And in the UK, a lot of schools are using Raspberry Pi to teach programming to kids. And as an instructor, I have used Raspberry Pi to teach Linux. And the thought process was to make a computer available for people to take home, and you can hook it up to your big screen TV, and you just have a keyboard and mouse connected to it, or you could do like a Logitech and do the Logitech dongle and have a wireless keyboard and mouse and connect up and just connect up to your TV. And there's a really nice EDIMAX is a USB network card, a nano size USB card, USB plug that will give you wireless. And so you connect up to wireless and surf the web on it and do programming and have it up on the big screen. And, you know, my thought was that kids would get a huge kick out of it. And there is Kano, which is a kids programming kit toy that has the keyboard and all this, and comes with a Raspberry Pi as the base processing for it. And
RetroPie.
Yeah, there's so many things you can do with a Raspberry Pi, and there are people making robots and type of thing. And so the cool thing is that you can think of a project that you want to do and use the Raspberry Pis as the base. That, you know, there are people doing security cameras and
weather stations.
Yeah, there was an article I saw last week that talked about 9 projects that you can do a Raspberry Pi on your summer vacation, and the Minecraft server was one of them. Then, you know, also you can, you know, some people have made little tablet computers using Raspberry Pi. They would buy an LCD screen, and they would make a kit. Maybe they 3D printed it, and they would put the LCD screen together and with the Raspberry Pi, and then they would do a wireless mouse and keyboard and turn into a complete all-in-one computer. And it's a really inexpensive way to get into Linux computing if you wanted to play around and try learning that as well. Phil, what's your familiarity with the Raspberry Pi and projects like that?
Well, I have not personally owned one, but it's going to happen here soon.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, what, $35, $40?
$35, and I definitely recommend going with the Pi 3 because it's got a gig of memory. It's got a pretty substantial processor. You'll need a micro HDMI to HDMI cable if you want to hook it up to a TV or, you know, monitor. And the EDIMAX, I found mine on Amazon. Amazon actually has a lot of Raspberry Pi kits that already have everything with it. And it's got a nano USB adapter that does B, G, and N. There may be even one that's got A and C now. So that would be great to get up into the 5 gigahertz range and get out of the 2.4 gigahertz. By the way, these are wireless frequencies that if you have an access point in your house, it's either using 2.4 or it's using 5 or it's doing dual band. There's now a tri-band as well that uses another frequency as well for the ANC range. So, but that all depends on if your laptop or computer has a wireless card that can handle that. And 2.4 goes out further, but it's more susceptible to interference from cordless phones, that type of thing. 5, shorter range, but a lot faster. A lot more reliable if you're close to it. But anyway, the point being is that you can easily put together your own computer at home.
For pretty close to nothing.
Yeah. A computer that your kids could play around on and do stuff on. Unfortunately, Roblox is one of those apps that my kids love, but unfortunately, it'll work on Linux, and then suddenly they'll update it, and it won't work on Linux, and then it'll work on Linux again. So Roblox is out of the question if you're trying to find something for your kids. By the way, though, it's not really kid-friendly. But, of course, sometimes Minecraft isn't either. You know, just different things. But this all started because Raspberry Pi became so popular. Intel began working on their own kind of circuit board processor type thing using an ARM-based processor, and theirs is called Beagle. But Beagle was $100, and so I don't really understand why they would come into the market with something that costs so much. Now they have Einstein, which is a little bit cheaper, but still not quite in the price range of a Raspberry Pi, so it kind of makes you wonder. But Intel didn't want to be left out, and so basically their mobile processor, they created made available for people to buy and use for doing projects. And then the Internet of Things, this world where people are connecting up devices that normally didn't have any access to the Internet, and being able to collect data and send data back and forth. Like, for example, if I wanted to connect my toaster for some reason up to the Internet so that it could send me a text message to tell me my toast is ready, but by the time I got there, it would be burnt. But, you know, or, you know, connecting up your refrigerator, and it can send you a message and say, hey, I'm out of milk, by the way. You might want to run by the store on your way home from work. Your washer and dryer, your washer send you a text message or send you a Facebook message that says, hey, by the way, my current status is I'm done with that load of whites that you just washed. It's time to put more clothes in, or time to throw them in the dryer. And this is the world we're going into more and more, is the Internet of Things, where everything is going to be connected. And so your lowly access point that may have had 3 devices on it suddenly going to have 25 devices. You know, so more than just your laptop and your iPad and your mobile phone, now you're going to have every device in your house is suddenly connected up. And because of the Internet of Things, people are using like Raspberry Pis to automate their house. So they have a control board to handle doing security cameras, or to handle dimming the lighting, or to talk
to thermostats.
Yeah, I was going to say the Nest device, you know, to talk to the Nest device. And then even crazier is that Amazon, with their Echo device, with Alexa as they call it, they're making that available, a software development kit out there available to people. And Raspberry Pi is going to be the next frontier. You'll be able to run Alexa, the compute piece, from the Amazon Echo devices on a Raspberry Pi. Now, it's going to still feed into the Amazon universe, where you'll say, hey, Alexa, what's today's weather? Alexa, what's today's top stories? You know, Alexa, please add bread to the grocery list. And you'll be able to take the Raspberry Pi device to make that device, and it will run their software development kit and allow you to communicate back to the Amazon cloud to be able to use Alexa in your home on devices that currently may not support that. And so it's just an amazing world that we're in right now. What do you think about doing with your Raspberry Pi after you get one?
Well, I think the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to try out their RetroPie. My buddy has shown me the Raspberry Pi. He's got some older arcade games that he's running off of it, and I think I need to introduce that to my nephew so he can see how real video gaming is, or how it at least was. So
yeah. Well, and then that's cool. That's pretty cool.
I think the next thing after that, though, is I want to play with a little robotics.
Yes.
I don't know if I want to build an arm, maybe, you know, print me off some parts and build an arm, or even do, I saw something here while we were talking about somebody's doing it for like a remote control tank-like little vehicle, so I think I might try that.
Yeah, make you like an R2-D2-like device and have it roll along the floor.
Sure.
Yeah. So, these are all great things, I think, and so it's a pretty fast thing. I'm going to post some links out on the webpage about Raspberry Pi and about Arduino and Beagle and Einstein, and I'm going to post some links also about cool projects you can do. I will tell you, O'Reilly Publishing has some awesome Raspberry Pi cookbooks that walk you through step-by-step on how to create different projects using Raspberry Pi. But there are tons and tons and tons of things online. People are give you the plans and even YouTube videos to tell you how they built things using Raspberry Pi. And I highly recommend before you go out and buy a Raspberry Pi that you kind of go out and research and figure out, what would I do with it after I get it? Maybe you want to use it to teach your kids how to program in Python. Python is a huge language. It's actually the second most popular language in the UK that's taught in schools now. So French is still in that weird place where it sometimes is first, sometimes Python's first. So, and you know, think computer languages as opposed to a foreign language. You know, this is the world we're living in, where math and science are the way of the world. And we talked about in a previous episode about how robotics are taking over the world slowly. And so it's going to be that your kids need to be able to do science and math and be able to program and do web pages at an early age, you know, earlier than ever before. And so, you know, it's just an amazing world, and using that to teach them science and math is just a phenomenal way to get them involved in things. So instead of kicking your kids outside, make them stay inside and do something with a Raspberry Pi.
Yes. That sounds like a great idea.
All right. Well, I think we've about covered it today. Phil, you got any last thoughts?
Get yourself a 3D printer and a Raspberry Pi and have a great summer.
That's right. And for a large fee and airfare, Phil will come to your house and set up your 3D printer for you. There's an hourly rate, and you'll have to pay plane fare and hotels and expenses. But, you know, for enough money, I'm sure Phil would do it.
Yeah, probably not. But thank you.
Okay, all right. Well, okay, never mind then. Never mind. I was trying to find you another cool way to make money. So, all right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this week's episode. As you may have noticed, Chuck wasn't on this episode. Chuck was busy taking care of his mom, and you should always take care of your mom. Yeah. So anyway, hopefully he'll be on their next episode. Thank you very much for listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast. I'm out there on the Twitterverse as A. Roy Richardson. Please look there. Also, we now have a Facebook page, believe it or not. The One-Off Technology Podcast has a Facebook page, and so feel free to go out and visit that. It's, if the internet wants to cooperate, you'll find it if you type One Off Tech Podcast on Facebook. So facebook.com, One Off Tech Podcast. Feel free to visit there. We post technology news every day, nearly 24/7. And you'll see lots of cool stories about Raspberry Pi, about cool things in the mobile universe. Lots of cool things are going on with technology, about privacy and encryption. And so, it's kind of a more visual way than our Facebook, than our Twitter feed is. So please feel free to go out there and visit. And thank you so much for listening. And this, by the way, for those playing at home, this was episode 5. Phil, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me back.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful time out there. You've been listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. Don't forget where you parked your car. Until next time, see you.